gave us what we needed. We've got a young person here that is graduated from high school, and she is preparing to go away to college. She is real shy. I would let her make a speech, but she would probably not say no. So we wanted to just show our gratitude and how much we appreciate all the work she's done with the youth and different things here at the church and the nursery. We had a Bible. We just made it just for her. Anyway, it's got her name on it, and it's just something that when she goes away to college, that she has a remembrance of this day and the service that she had here at Common Ground. This is Haley Suttle, y'all. So y'all give her a hand. Here you go, sweetie. God bless you. She's going to Lone Star Community College. I don't know which campus, but there's a bunch of them. You know, here at Cowboys, they just love to ride horses. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about, I'm going to talk about horses. Something that most of us know about, most of us own one, most of us have the opportunity to ride on a regular basis. But I've been working and riding on a couple of different horses here lately. And I've noticed something. I started really watching and trying to pay attention to what they're telling me, because horses talk. I'm not a horse whisperer or anything like that. They usually know more about what's going on than I do because they're a horse, and I'm not. But I've noticed that horses, they're a creature that God has created, and they're so, the only word I can think of is they're magnificent in the way they're built, the way they carry themselves. But I've noticed something about horses over the years, and it's that I've noticed that most horses have a prideful type attitude. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been around one that's real high-headed, that they just kind of strut with their head up high and that tail sticking up, and they just kind of strut themselves around? I noticed that in particular with a stud colt that I'm working with. This rascal, if there was ever a horse that is prideful, this one is. He don't want anything to do with me. He don't want me to touch him. He really don't even want me to look at him. And the first thing he does is he gets in a defensive mode and sticks his butt right to me. Right away, the minute I start getting close to him. You know, he is what we call an unbroken horse, one that's not broke. I've been riding another horse. Her name is Belle. She belongs to Chris. Just the most, this horse don't have a mean bone in her body, except when another horse tries to smell her. You don't want to get behind her when she does that. But most of the time, this horse, she doesn't know a whole lot, but she is willing. She's real quiet. She rides really nice. But I've noticed that even her, she has a prideful side to her also. There's certain things that she kind of refuses to do. She doesn't willingly give herself to me. An unbroke horse. You know, he knows how to run. He knows how to spin and turn and run. He knows how to stop. I'm talking about really get his butt in the ground and stop and roll back. Do everything that he can physically. He can do it for himself. When someone's on its back, though, it's a different story. When someone is trying to get them to do what they want to do or what you ask them to do, and they don't do it, that's a horse that is unbroken. That's a horse that is not yielding himself It is pure rebellion at its best. He may not be the fastest horse out there, but he's fast enough for him when he wants it. And he gives it all when he needs it. Not necessarily when I need it. It's a proud creature to me, the way I look at it, that a horse is. And if you have one that yields to you and is not rebellious, and they're a pleasure to ride, you have a blessing under you. But not all horses are like that. It takes trust and submission. He has to submit to me. He has to submit to my authority. He has to see me as someone that he can trust. Where I'm going to take him is not going to hurt him. That he's not going to get hurt. That he's going to be fine. It's funny, that trust thing. If you ever notice that some horses that are real watchy, what I call watchy on the ground, you're riding along and you start looking at something. I mean, you turn your head, they can see a fly on their back. So they see you turn your head and they're going, a horse that's not totally broke will go, what's he looking at? There's something over there. There's something going to get me. I got to beware. And they may start snorting. They may turn their head and look to see what booger is out there for them. It's a trust issue. But as that horse matures and gets a little older, it starts to trust more. It starts to give everything that it has to you without worrying about him getting hurt. He's still physically strong. He's still powerful. He's not weak. He is strong. But yet he submits his body, his head, his feet to you. He still has all the speed and everything he needs, but he's willing to give that speed to you when you ask for it. I want to say something this morning. It's hard to say because this is talking about me. God hates a prideful man. He hates pride. Do you hear me? God hates pride in a man or a woman. Pride and self-reliance is nothing but a disobedient heart, a rebellious heart, a heart that says, look at me, I'm somebody. I'm entitled to certain things because I'm a Christian. I'm entitled to it. They kind of strut around with their head high, wanting to show off their position. All their possessions, all their talent. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. If you're a prideful person, you're going down a road that's going to lead to destruction. And that haughty attitude, that cocky, I got this, I can get her done attitude, you're going to fall. It's going to happen, I'm telling you. It's a promise. A prideful person, and I'm talking about myself, resists God. They rebel against God. They try to rely on their own strength and their own ability to get things done. But this, y'all, this is a destructive, it's a self-destructive, high-headed type person. Well, I know that God's not talking about me here. You may be sitting there thinking, I go to church and I serve him faithfully. Every time the doors are open, I'm down there. I'm working. I'm doing something. I am so important to this church that if I stopped working, this church would close the doors. They'd have to. Because that's how important I am. I do so much. There's a story in the Bible about a man that's, he was standing there at the temple and he was looking at a tax collector who is not, in those days, was not a likable person. They're the ones that they collected taxes and they usually got rich because they overtaxed. Romans only asked for a certain amount and everything you could get above that, that was yours as a tax collector. That man looked at that tax collector as he was giving his money to the Lord. And he said, you know, man, thank God, Lord, that I'm not like that tax collector. Woo! Thank God that I'm not as low down and dirty as that guy is. The tax collector, he came up and he said, he beat his chest and he said, God, have mercy on me because I am a wretched man. I need forgiveness. God said, that guy went away justified. The tax collector. The other one didn't. In Psalms 51:17, it says, the sacrifice you desire, Lord, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. Y'all, God wants us to have a broken spirit, a repentant heart. He does not like us to be prideful and think that we're better than somebody else. He wants a person whose spirit submits to his authority. That when he asks you to do something, you're not just willing to do it, you are excited to do it. Let me at it, Lord. Let me at it. Show me what you want to do, and I'm your man. Let me do it. I am ready. Not one that, when I talked about this one mare talking about Belle, I asked her to give me her head, and she has this what I call a sticky point. She kind of hesitates for just a second. Then she gives me her head. She sticks. It's that moment where I'm not really sure what you're asking me, but once I figured it out, I give it to you. A lot of us are like that. We think we know what God wants us to do, so we kind of stick for just a minute. But once we know for sure, then we're ready to go. I'm not talking about that person this morning. I'm talking about someone who is an unbroken Christian, not a broke Christian. One who has a broken spirit and gives themselves willingly to the Lord. You know, if you have a broken spirit, you submit yourself to God's authority. You see him as the ultimate boss, and you trust him that he is not going to send you somewhere where you're going to get hurt. He's always going to protect you. He's always going to give you what you need. To be a broke horse, he has to give himself to me. He has to let me maneuver him where I want to go, where I want to go, and when I want it done. A lot of times the Lord tells us to do something, and we want to argue with him and go, you know, I really don't think that I'm the person to do that, Lord. You know, old Joe Bob over here, he is a whole lot more qualified to do what you're asking. Why don't you send him? Have you ever said that? I have. For years, the Lord was telling me to become a minister of the gospel. Not just a preacher, but a pastor. Big difference. A preacher just stands up here, does his thing, what he feels like the Lord's leading him to do. But a pastor is there all week long for everything that goes on in the church family. That's a whole different ball game. That's the part that I felt like I could do this part. See, that pride thing. I felt like I could do this, but it was the other thing that I balked on. I stuck. For years, I got at that sticking place. I knew what God wanted, but I acted like I was deaf. I acted like I didn't really understand. I'm telling you, it did something to me. It hurt me spiritually. I was in not a very good place, and I was an elder of a church, of another cowboy church. I was an elder, and I was saying no to God, even though I knew what he wanted. He'd ask me to preach, and I go, the pastor would, and I go, oh, man, no, you got to work. No, I just, you know, you take care of that. I'm comfortable right here, what I'm doing. I'm comfortable. I don't want to get uncomfortable. I want to tell you, it's not comfortable for a horse for you sitting on his back. It's not comfortable for a horse for you to put a bit in his mouth. It's not comfortable for that horse to lead him around, make him run when he doesn't want to run, make him turn when he doesn't want to. It's not always comfortable serving God. God is going to get you out of your comfort zone. He wants you to grow. So to make you grow, he's got to stretch you. He's got to put you in situations where you're not comfortable. But when you get it done, when you get to the other side of whatever he asks you, you are stronger, more informed, you're ready for something bigger. Because he's always got something bigger and better for you. It's such a great blessing to be a Christian. Amen? To be able to serve God. You know, we live in a great country. We, as folks here in the country, I like to call it, we are a strong bunch of folks. We're cowboys, ranchers, farmers. We have this small town type attitude that we love. It's like a family. It feels comfortable. And when someone comes in that is not from around here, they might even be from the city. Ooh, city people. Those people, they don't think right. City people, they don't talk right. We can't understand them half the time. We automatically judge and say, you're not from around here, are you? We judge them all the time because they're different. Because they're really not as good as we are. Let's face it. I'm talking the truth here. You better be listening to what God is saying. I'm telling you, it's important. You're not as good as we are. So we're going to kind of hold you off just a little bit. We're not going to pull you in because, you see, you're different. You're not one of us. That person may love the Lord with a passion that you've never even known. They may have served God faithfully wherever they came from. Yet, they come here, and I'm not talking just this barn or just this body, but when they come to the country, they don't feel welcome. That's wrong. I tell you what, Jesus went looking for everybody. He said, I didn't come for those who think they're righteous, who think they're right, who think they're country folks. I didn't come for them. I came for the sick. I come for those that need me, that need to be healed. Folks, that's pride at its strongest level when we act like that. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, pride ends in humiliation, while humility itself brings honor. It brings honor. You got to take these two words, humility. We have a tendency to say, well, if someone's humble, they got to be weak. That's not true. That's not true. It's just someone who has submitted themselves to God. 100%. No matter what he asks them to do, they do it. In 1 John 2:16, it says this. 2:16. Excuse me, y'all. Devil's working on me. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Now, I didn't make this up. This is God's Word. That's why I read from God's Word, is because that's where the power is. It's not what Lynn says. The power is coming from God's own words. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. The world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Woo! Will live forever if you please God. Philippians 2:5-11. I'm going to read this. I'm reading a lot of scripture because I've got to back up everything that I've said with God's Word. This is Jesus talking about Jesus himself. He says, you must have an attitude like Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. We're talking about the Son of God. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and every tongue would confess that he is Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, the Bible talks an awful lot about being prideful and how it's wrong and how it leads you down a road that you don't want to go. Because I tell you, sin always takes you further away from God and keeps you there longer than you want to stay. I'm not talking about weakness here, but I'm talking about spiritual strength, not a weak Christian. Not being rebellious, but obedient. Not full of ourselves, but full of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Jesus died so that we could have a great life, y'all. Full of blessings. He wants you to have a great, wonderful life. Full of blessings and joy. But I'm telling you, pride is here to steal it, y'all. Pride is from the devil. Don't let pride be the thing that steals your blessings. Don't let pride be the thing that steals your joy, because it'll do it. Don't let pride steal away the life that God has for you. It's the best. His plan for you is better than anything you could ever have for yourself. You think, well, if I do what God wants, that means I can't be a cowboy no more. Wrong. That means that I can't go and rodeo no more. Wrong. That means that I can't do what I do. Going to the bars and being with the guys. I'm not talking about drinking here. I'm talking about doing where God takes you, going where God tells you to go. If God tells you to go to the bar, by crack, you go to the bar. Somebody in there needs to know Jesus. Don't be a stumbling block, though, for that person. Remember, when you go, you are a representative of Christ. Wherever you go, He'll send you to places that you'll go, "Ooh, you mean really, Lord, I get to go to the bar?" Yeah. But what you used to do in your old nature and what He has for you today is going to be a little bit different. When you go to a rodeo to go do your event, He's not against that. Well, He will bless you. But He says, while you're out there, tell somebody about Me. Tell somebody about what you got that is so good that you can't stand not to share it. When you're at work, He's going to send you to work. He wants you to work if you've got a job. He don't want you to stay home. But when you're there, while He's blessing you with a job, He says, tell someone about Me. Tell somebody about what you got that they ain't got. Pride. Don't let it steal away everything God has for you, because it will. For many years, I said this the other day, and I have to laugh about it because it's so ironic. I got to thinking about this, about pride, and as I was sitting there working on this message, I said, man, Lord, I am so glad that I am not, that I'm not a prideful person, and that I try not to take credit for anything that You do. And He just sit there, and I said, if I have any pride in me, I said, would You reveal it? And He said, you just said it when you opened your mouth. You were prideful to the fact that you weren't prideful. Even when you think you're doing everything right, Satan has a way of creeping in and twisting it to where it's a little torqued. It's not exactly what God had in mind. Even when you're doing right, all of us, y'all, are prideful people. I'm telling you. All of us need forgiveness for it. All of us need to confess our sins. All of us need to submit to God. You may be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I already submit so much, I ain't got time for any more submitting. Praise God. Is that what God told you, or is that you? I think it's you. Submit. Turn. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, you think, man, that guy is crazier than a bug. I don't know what he means. The Holy Spirit is not talking to you, and that means that you have not received the gift of eternal life. You have not turned your life over to Christ. You have not submitted yourself to Christ. You don't believe. You say, well, I believe there's a God. Well, it says the demons believe, and they're going to hell. They know who Jesus is. They know how powerful he is, and they know he died on the cross and he was raised. But they are not going to heaven. For us to do it, we have to submit. We have to confess our sins, come to Christ, and believe that he died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. If you want that free gift, that's what you got to do. You may already have it, but you're living a prideful life. You're letting the world rule what you do every day, not the Lord. Let's pray. Woo, man, Lord, my feet hurt from the Holy Spirit stomping all over me. My whole body aches. My mind hurts, Lord, because you know that I'm a prideful person. I try not to be, Lord. I try to submit, but I fall every day. May the Holy Spirit have his perfect work in everyone's heart that's here. Lord, I'm talking about let him cause a change to happen in their hearts as you are changing mine every minute of the day. I don't understand everything that there is to know, Lord, but I know one thing, that you want the best for me and that you love me. I don't deserve all the blessings that you give us. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you just the same. If someone here, Lord, doesn't know you, I pray before they leave, they accept you as their Lord and Savior. There's someone here that has wandered away, that's gone down a trail, Lord, that leads to destruction. I pray that they would repent. That just means to turn around and come back to you. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, and I thank you for dying on the cross, loving us that much, so that we could have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, and for the blood that he shed for all of us. In his name I pray, Lord. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're visiting, I'm not going to apologize for the message that I just brought, because this is a message that God has just whooped me on for, I guess, about a month. Every week I think what it is he wants me to preach about, and I would hear that message, and I'd come down, and I did something that week that caused me not to be able to hear. I did something prideful, a sin. But the Lord finally was able to get it out of me to where I could bring it to you. It's always in his perfect timing. You're not here by accident. If you're visiting this morning and you're looking for a church home, I pray you'd consider Common Ground Cowboy Church, because this is a family. All churches, you've got to hear this, all churches love the Lord, I'm sure. And all churches have folks that want to serve. And they have a family atmosphere. I'm sure they do. But there's just something about here at Common Ground that is uncommon. And it's the love. God bless you. No matter what trail God sends you on this week, I pray that he would lead you and protect you till we see each other next week.